You're listening to Called to Homeschool, episode number 71, educating the mind, the heart, the body, and the soul. This is your manual to becoming the amazing homeschool mom you were called to be.
Hey, friends.
Hey. Welcome back. We're on episode number 71.
So fun. We were just talking about what a blessing that it was that we created this a year ago before the crap hit the fan. And when people are like, oh no, I'm freaking out. Maybe I need a homeschool. And we're like, oh, guess what? We have an episode about that. How many times have you done that?
Yeah, so much lately. And it's been really cool for me to just recognize like the reason why that we felt the need to start this. And
yes,
to just
put this I think together. Our friends were teasing us the other night about this. I remember the night when it happened and Karen was like, we should start a podcast. Well,
and I don't know if I shared this story ever on here.
I don't know if we have.
But I just felt really strongly, like I just had a really strong impression that I needed to do this. But I was too afraid.
Yeah.
I really was, I'll be honest. I don't like putting myself out there in this way. I like hiding behind my cute little crafts and just being anonymous. And so this was a big scary thing for me to do. But I knew that she had done life coaching and was trying to promote her business in new ways. And I just thought of her initially. And I said, if she would do it with me, I would do this.
Yeah.
And I asked her and she immediately was
funny. Yes, I will.
And it was so crazy how we both were like, oh, okay, I guess we're doing this. And then we just threw it together so quickly. And it's
yes,
it's
like you been, research this. I will research this.
Mm-hmm. And it's been so fun. We both love doing it and we've been able to help so many people through it. So
yes. So it's been way fun. And we get questions about do an episode about something. And so we try to work it in. Yeah. I know we had some specific to curriculum that will be coming up. Karen has the coolest idea, but I won't tell because it's really fun.
I'm excited though.
Yes. So
I keep listening.
We're hooking you. What is that called? Bait, fish bait, what are the clickbait?
Yeah, click here.
Yeah. Anyway, so if you listened last week, we were talking about, I don't remember the name, Home Educators
Council of America.
Council of America.
Yes.
And HECOA. And Karen and I are both presenting. And when you listen to this, mine will be the next day.
Yeah.
And Karen's will have already aired by the time this episode comes out. So.
So what that is it's a online homeschool conference.
Free homeschool
conference. It's all
free.
It's called the Not Back to School Summit.
Mm-hmm.
And you can listen to both of our presentations on there.
And tons of other
and
awesome.
And lots of other awesome speakers. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yes. So Karen's was way fun. How to make your homeschool more fun. So that's funny. I use that word a lot, apparently.
Fun.
It's the funnest thing ever.
Megan's is way fun too.
That's funny. Mine's more serious.
Yeah, yours is more serious.
The silly one. That's funny. My husband and I were talking about the podcast the other day, and I was talking about our personalities. I'm like, Karen's like the calm, the like the consistent force, and I'm like the crazy one. So I know it's good. It grounds me.
We're a good match.
Yeah, we're good friends. Okay, so mine is a mouthful, and I'm okay with that. But the name of my presentation is Educating the Mind, the Heart, the Body, and the Soul. But I feel like if you could say that 5 times fast, I would be really, really impressed with you. So
I really want to know.
Do it. Try it.
No,
try
just
it.
Kidding.
I can't.
Okay.
Yeah, we have tongue twister books, and my kids love to make me read them because I stink at them. It's a mouthful, but I kept the title because I feel like they are so important, especially with a lot of the coaching calls I've been getting. It's so mind focused. And I'm like, yes, we can coach on that, but you're going to want to make sure things stay well rounded.
Yeah.
And I like to think of it as a wheel. Do I say that weird? My husband says I say that word
wrong.
Wheel. Will.
It sounds
wheel.
Normal.
Okay. Like whale. Well.
I don't know. No,
okay.
It sounds
those are the joys of being a linguist.
Wheel.
Thank you. So if you have a tire, a wheel, something like that, and it's balanced, it just runs smoother and you can hit a pothole and it doesn't like break your car. Mm-hmm. Or if you ever overinflated a bike tire and it explodes, or if it's underinflated, it's harder to go,
right?
And so just as you want to create balance in a wheel, you want to create that balance in your homeschool. And it doesn't mean you're not going to have bad days, because welcome to being a human and raising human children. But it runs smoother. And just like if you hit a hard pothole, it's like, oh, we recover from it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't throw your whole day off. Like it makes so you can keep going in life, right?
Yeah. It's interesting because like she's mentioned, she's had so many questions about curriculum and we both have. And that's often the biggest question people have is the curriculum. What are we going to do? Which we're going to do a whole episode on that topic also.
Yes.
But
I was excited about that.
I know. I'm excited about that one too. But I think it's really important that, and I don't think people recognize this until they start schooling at home, mm-hmm. that there's so much more to it than the curriculum you choose. It's more about the atmosphere you create and the culture you create in your home and the values that you're incorporating and those kinds of things as well.
Yes. So with educating the mind, that is all about curriculum. And I want to just quickly go over three things with that. With the mind is first to slow down. Second, why you don't want to only educate the mind. And three, what do I really want my kids to know? So first I want to talk about slowing down. The other day I had a client contact me because she's going to homeschool now with COVID and it really wasn't on her radar, but she kind of feels thrown into it and feels more comfortable homeschooling than masks and all that stuff. And she has a cute kindergartner and she was panicking about her high school diploma for this child.
I panicked about that when I had a kindergartner my first time. You know,
I think I panicked every grade. Uh-huh. Like, okay, I could do kindergarten, but first, okay, I could do first, but second mm-hmm. too. And then it was like, okay, now I got it. But junior high and high school, like, yes, I get it. So I always like, okay. Like you can almost feel it in mm-hmm. them. Like, oh no, high school. Like are they going to get into college? Are they going to be a deadbeat? Are they going to be all these things? And it's like, first of all,
college transcript is not going to reflect their kindergarten school
no.
year or their high school transcript.
No. So like, it's almost like stop, take this huge, big, deep breath mm-hmm. and like relax and zoom in. And what I mean by that is if you were driving at night, you can't see everything even with your lights on, right? But you can see what's right in front of you, and that's enough. That keeps people safe on the road. I mean, like, you're safe if you're driving at night with your headlights on, mm-hmm. right? Like, you can see enough. Mm-hmm. And
unless a deer jumps in front of you.
Well, Karin.
Sorry, that's what I think of every time I drive at night. Because
well,
I live
yeah,
on the mountain.
Live on the canyon road, like... It's sketchy. The road still scares me. In high school, I had gotten a rollover on that road.
Oh, that is scary.
Yeah. So that was not because of a deer. That was because of teenage dumbness. Anywho, we've talked about that before. I wasn't the most studious student. But you can see enough. Even a deer, you can see at the last second, right? But with your homeschool, and thinking about all this curriculum and like, I've got to teach them all these things. Like, ooh, zoom in a little bit, take a big deep breath. And remember, Rome was not built in a day. You don't have to teach your child everything. First of all, because you can't. Second, because, and Karin's talking about this too, is learning is a lifestyle, right? Not just a checkoff list. That's her whole thing, is making it more fun and making mm-hmm. it that lifestyle. So zoom in. What can I teach my child this year? If that's still too overwhelming, what can I do this semester or term? If that's still overwhelming, what can I teach them this month, this week, or even today?
Yeah.
Like, where are we today? Yeah. Of not letting that curriculum
you
really
know,
bog you
down. What's funny about that too is the zoom in. I used to try and teach my kids everything in one year. Like
yeah.
Everything. And I would just try to jam it all in. And they don't even remember any of it. There was just too much and too overwhelming. And I was talking to my daughter the other day about it. And she was like, you read me that book? Oh, I remember when you read that. And I didn't listen at all. Will you read it again? I'm like, sure.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just funny because you think that the more you shove in them, the more they're going to really learn. But that's not true.
It's more about quality versus mm-hmm. quantity. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, we got through 20 books this year. Can you tell me about any of them? And it's like, no. But if you read a really good book, or a really something that they're really excited about with history, with science, with art, with anything like that. Like, oh, I remember, and we talked about this last week with poetry and tea time. Mm-hmm. Like, we read the silliest Shel Silverstein. We have an awesome, super old nursery rhyme book, and it is fantastic because it is
the nursery
so
rhymes are really funny,
not politically correct.
Yeah, they're funny.
And just like, oh my gosh, there are some of our favorites, but It's exposing them. Did I talk about this with poetry? I don't know if I did. My Briggy is 9 and he was like, poetry stupid. Why do I need to do this? And it was funny, Porter, who will be a senior this year, and he was like, are you kidding me? Poetry is everything. When I'm frustrated, when I'm upset, when I don't know how to express what's going on, I write it, I create poetry, and from that is my music. Mm-hmm. And so Porter was like, poetry is so... Did I say Porter or poetry?
You said it right.
Okay. Porter said, poetry is so important. And so to me, that's that quality. Like, oh yeah, this is awesome.
That
slowing
is awesome.
It down. That was a total mom
I told
win.
My kids we were going to have a poetry tea time. And Burton said, what's poetry?
And like, you're like,
poems. And he was like, oh, okay. Apparently he didn't know the word poetry. So
lesson one.
It's like,
what
whoops.
Is this word? That's fun. So that's tip one, is to slow down. You don't need to teach it all to them and just zoom in. And if you need to, zoom in today. What can I teach today or what can I teach tomorrow? Number two, the downside of only educating the mind, getting really good at taking tests. Mm. Like, is that really an impressive skill to put on a resume? Like, by the way,
awesome test taker.
I am an awesome test taker.
How much are you going to use that in your job?
Yeah, truth be told, I'm a horrid test taker.
I'm not so good either.
Yes.
And I did all right on the ACT, I guess.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I winged it, and then I would get bored and, like, make patterns.
But
so.
I took it again, and I got the exact same score.
So oh, really?
Like, I guess, like, I'm consistent.
You're consistently average.
I think
good.
Consistent is, like, the perfect word to describe me.
Oh,
I'm just
okay.
Consistent.
You're good. I like you. So maybe I need some consistency in my life. But there is a fantastic valedictorian address by Erica Goldson. And straight A student, right? Like, just amazing, impressive. And she gets up there and really, we'll have to link her address in the show notes because it's fantastic. And what you would think a valedictorian is going to say, she does not say it. But she talks about, I have some of her quotes. And I really like them. This is the dilemma I faced within the American education system. We are so focused on a goal, whether it be passing a test or graduating as first in the class. However, in this way, we do not really learn. We do whatever it takes to achieve our original objective. And she talks about that some of the students, while they were doodling in class, they became great artists. While they were not studying for a test, they were actually reading things that they enjoyed. And so she talks about how she didn't create a life for herself. We are more than robotic bookshelves, continue to blurt out facts we were taught in high school. Like, this thing just goes on.
I remember watching this in the past.
Yes.
And I always wonder what her teachers and her, you know, the principal and everything thought of her speech, which was really amazing. But I wonder what they thought, because it's kind of bashing the whole education system
in
general.
Well, it's funny because she's super educated.
She is.
And so well spoken. And she was like, what was the point of my high school? Mm-hmm. The last 18 years I can't take back.
Yeah.
Instead of going with my friends and building relationships,
yeah.
I did extra credit I didn't need to do.
And I actually really felt like that after graduating too. I remember so many times in my adult years, before I started homeschooling particularly, where mm-hmm. I would think, I think I learned that in school, but I don't remember any of it. And I know
yeah.
I got a good education and good grades, but what do I have to show for it? I don't really know. I don't remember any of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me sort of sad. Because I really enjoy knowing things and learning things.
Yeah.
And so I felt, I don't know, cheated almost that I didn't learn more.
Yeah. Well, I don't think I started to really learn or love learning until I homeschooled.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I didn't. Because I've talked before too that I didn't really read a book until I started homeschooling. And now, like,
I think that's normal though
lot.
For a lot of people, honestly.
Or that I've even heard people who did like reading. Who school killed their love of reading.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, there were so many books they had to read that they weren't interested in, that they'd have to read and then write an essay on it.
Brennan and I were talking the other day about, I can't remember what the number is, but the average number of books an American reads in a year. I think it was, I don't know, 12 maybe, like one
uh-huh.
month or something. And he was just dumbfounded by that because he reads so much. His goal this year is to read 200 books in a year.
Yeah. Where
and,
is he?
I mean, he's on track. He's
okay.
keeping like a, I don't know, a chart to know how many he needs to read
That's
per month
fun.
And everything. So he's doing the math behind it. And it's so exciting to him. But he was just so amazed that people would read so few in a year. And,
yes, I actually got a bid the other day to put in another bookcase right here.
Ooh.
Not yet. But I'm excited because I thought I just keep like by me, you can see all these books on the floor because I keep buying more books. And I was like, well, this one's really good. And so my husband, he is totally indulging me because he's like, and on the sides of our bed, we should do built-in bookcases. Aww. And then like put it across the top. That's too. Awesome. So I thought, oh man, we have got a problem. And we're both okay with it. Like, we're both addicts. And the other one's like, yes, do it.
I understand that.
Yeah. So we keep building in bookcases in my house. So one day this is going to be like super snazzy. We'll see. Anyway, number three. So what do I really want my kids to know? And that's, I think that's a great question to start with.
Yeah.
Like if, when you're creating your homeschool, like what is it I really want my kids to even
What's
know?
What's important to you? And that you think is important for them in their future.
Yeah. So I picked just four different things that I want them to know how to push through when things get hard, because things will get hard. And I think I say that to them a lot of like, it's not if you have a trial or if like you experience something difficult, it's when you have those things and can you push through? And I used to think, and maybe that one's important to me because that's something I've had to work on, that I used to think if something was hard, it was heaven didn't want me to do it. And so like if this were like a divine inspiration of I should be doing these things, then it, the pathway would just be cleared for me. And I was like,
if only.
Oh, actually.
It's the opposite.
Yes.
Because it wants you to learn things along the way, right?
Yes. And so when I was working on my website last year and it was like one roadblock after another, and like so many times I was like, this is ridiculous. Like, why am I even doing this? And I was like, wait. I can push through hard things. And like, we were going to release it in the beginning of the year. We'd recorded a podcast episode and then had to just delete it because it came out quite a bit later than intended. So,
but it's beautiful now.
Oh yeah. She did a great job. It just like, she laughed too. She goes, I've never had so many problems with the website. And I was like, cute. I'm so glad it's mine.
Cute.
but I love that idea of them being able to push through when things get hard. When they feel like they have too much on their plate or just whatever. How to be a problem solver. That's a huge thing for me. And I feel like that's what we do with our weekly family meetings. And just the, everything with it we do in our family, I really want them to be good problem solvers because you're going to forever have problems. Like there's never going to be, even in every day you have like little problems that arise. Mm-hmm. Right. And I told her this morning that, my one daughter needed to go to driver's ed, but I had plans to go hiking with another kid. My husband had stuff going and I was like, okay, how do we want to figure this? So a brother dropped her off, a grandma brought her home and we figured it out, and being able to solve that problem without the drama.
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh, why did you schedule this right now? This is so hard. And now we got to call grandma and bug her. And so I love the idea of being a problem solver, and because there's peace in that. And I am all about peace. The next one I want to teach them is how to reach their potential, not what I think they should be, but what their potential is. And I think that's the beautiful part of homeschooling them, is because you know them so intimately that you can help guide them help foster those strengths you see in them of like, yeah, this is amazing. You could totally do this.
Yeah, I definitely agree.
Yeah. Like, I don't know if you have certain things you do in your school or just the way you parent. That's like, I can see like Brandon's really good at reading, or is it just supporting that with like, you can read 200 books this year.
It's all him.
It's but I mean, choice, like, is it just like getting out of the way? Like,
yeah, definitely. Yeah. There's, I mean, when it's a goal he has, why would I stop it?
Yeah. No, buddy, that's too hard.
No, I'm not going to stop that goal. No, I think it's amazing that you can. You can give them space to learn and do the things that are they're passionate about and let them really grow. And they have more time to.
Yeah. Well, it's so funny. So my one son, he talks about his mansion often. And he is going to do something with the homeless with his mansion. And he's going to teach them and give them jobs. And so it's funny because my husband was teasing me. He goes, you know how you always tell Porter, like, keep putting it out in the universe. Why not? He goes, like, I love that. That you're like, why can't you have a mansion? And I said, can I help you throw galas? And I don't know why the homeless, but like something in his heart really wants to do something with the homeless. And so he's like, oh, and then because I said, who are you gonna leave your mansion to? And he goes, to the homeless, obviously. And I was like, this, I love it. Like, reaching your potential, he's gonna be such a big music star that he's gonna have a mansion. And we talk about his lovely mansion often.
It's so really cute.
I just think that's fun to support their dreams and like, awesome, how are you gonna do that? And then the last thing is how to be great at something. Maybe that's kind of the same as reaching their potential, but how to, but even like how to clean your room, but be great at it.
Yeah.
How to wash the dishes and be great at it. Like, maybe that sounds so silly.
No, I think that's good because there's so many skills that they need to learn.
Yeah.
That, you know, if they're just only doing their jobs halfway, you know, it's kind of pathetic, but no, I think that's a really good, really good thing. But also I think it's teaching them how to get there. It's not just like reaching their potential. That's like allowing them the room to grow, but you're teaching them how to be great. You know, you're giving them the step-by-step and giving them the guidance along the way. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, I love too, there was, we live by a temple and people go and serve in the temple and they have different things that they do, but there's a laundry room there as well. And this guy was, and I don't even know the right word, but like, he was super well spoken. He had talks printed in the magazine, The Ensign. And he was just this awesome guy. And he goes, I love to be in the laundry room. I always request it. And he's the kind of guy you would think that you'd want to be out in the front and like having him do all this other stuff. And he's like, no, the laundry needs to be done. So I'm going to go down and help with the laundry. I love being in the laundry room. And I just, I love that attitude. So no matter what you do, to be great at it. So that's the million-dollar question is, how do you teach all that? Like, surprise, I pull it out of my hat. I have found the my favorite way and the best way to teach it is to model it, which doesn't always seem like the best answer. They're like, no, just give my kid a book.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really the truth of it. If you're doing it each day and they're watching you do it, they're going to also.
Well, I think of like, what do you, you get up super early and you study books and you read. And so now what is your child doing?
He's reading. And he's seeing the value of it. And our home is surrounded by books.
Yeah.
And that was something he said this year, with setting that goal, he said, we have so many books in our home that I had not read yet. I was just rereading my favorites. And I realized I really wanted to know what was in those books. And so he's reading hard books, different books than he would have normally chosen, but he's having an amazing experience because of it.
Yes. And so I think there's this great meme and there are two moms sitting on a park bench and one has a book and her child has a book and one has a cell phone and her child has a cell phone. And the cell phone mom says, how do you get your kid to read so much? And it's just, that's what the mom does. She reads.
Right. Yeah.
And so, yeah, so modeling it, and which is looking in the mirror and saying, okay, can I do hard things myself? Can I push through when I want to quit? Like I just said, I totally wanted to quit with the website. Like, okay, like this isn't, nobody really needs that much homeschool help. Turns out the world was going to shut down and people totally wanted homeschool help. Can I be a great problem solver? I think that too, can I help with, be a problem solver and have a good attitude with right? Without like getting mad at my daughter this morning, like, oh, this is super inconvenient and you're not even gonna go hiking with us. And instead like, okay, let's just get it done. You know, am I great at something? I think that was a good one, but I think maybe I should change it to high quality work, but like being able to do high quality work with what I do. So the next thing is, is the heart, educating the heart. And I think after homeschooling for so many years, a lot of people start realizing that like education is an important aspect. Both of our children know how to read and write and obviously well read. But that's what people usually worry about. But then you start realizing connecting with their heart helps homeschool immensely to build those relationships with them. Because I always tell people it does, like your curriculum doesn't really matter, but if you have a good relationship with your child, you can teach them anything. Like, okay, mom, like, I love you. Sure. Why not?
It's true. Yeah.
Yes. And so they realize as you are educating their children's minds that they also want to connect with their hearts as well. So kind of what does that look like? How does one do that, right? How do you have more love and connection in your home? And how are you personally helping create peace in your home? Not to be a completely lag, you'll have to go listen to the presentation to find out, but we're running out of time. So I am super long-winded. Spoiler though, not yelling at your kids is totally going to be in there. So you can go listen to, I think it's called No Yelling November still.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I have the No Yelling support group still. It's on Facebook. Then it's just Google search, not Google search, Facebook search, No Yelling Mamas. And I do a support group of not yelling at your kids.
She's awesome on that. I love that concept so much. And I was thinking about that as we were talking about, you know, like the, how do you get your kid to read so much and, you know, modeling, for example. And if you want peace in your home, it starts with you, because if you're modeling that peace and that contentment and that, you know, not frustrated with every problem that arises, then your children are going to learn how to react in those same ways and learn how to deal with hard things in a manageable way and in a calm way, because you're modeling that.
Yeah. And so I really love that support group. It's good for me as well, when I want to get very frustrated with my children, to like, oh, okay, I know what to do. And it's funny, like some things just don't bug me anymore as much. So on our hike today, I had a lovely time and Master George screamed most of the way. And so I just had one of the big boys wore a backpack, because I said the other one, you'll probably carry George. But who did George want him to be carried by? Mother. And so like we were rotating him through, because he's like 40 pounds.
Yeah, it's hard.
He's not small.
He's like, not little anymore.
No, he's three, but he's a big man. And like, so he's screaming. And it was so funny because my kids were getting a little bit frustrated, but they weren't yelling at him. But it was like, buddy, this is enough. Like, this is nonsense. I'm holding you. It's fine. And I just like, I don't even care. Like, three-year-olds sometimes just totally lose their mind.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know why you're trying to reason with them. Like, he's gone to crazy town. So like, just walk away. But being able to connect with them, I think, and especially where I'm in the throes of teenage years and so many things are coming up, and to have that connection of being able to have hard conversations with them. It's awesome. And I think I saw there's on Well Educated Heart, her whole platform is about connecting with their hearts.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful.
It is. I love it.
Yes. She's awesome. And she writes the prettiest things. Like the way she writes, I think I would love to see how your mind.
She's very eloquent in her speaking.
She is. And sometimes I'll see a mom post on there in the Facebook group of like, yeah, but my kid's like screaming bloody murder. My kid is doing all these things. And I don't even know that I like my kid, let alone trying to connect with them. And so that's why I always start with those first steps of like modeling the behavior, not yelling at them. And so they start learning, how do I problem solve? How do I let my brother know to not touch my Legos without punching him in the face? right? Like, those are legit things that
they are
had to deal with, right? Yes. Like, my brother pants at me and I don't think it's funny. that was a concern in family meeting not too long ago. But yes, so just being able to connect with their hearts, because you can teach somebody anything when they love you. And you love them. That's sometimes got to start there. The next part is the body. That speaks to me. Movement speaks to me. Mm-hmm. And I feel like running, I get the runner's high almost every time. But being able to, and not even like being size two or being like super sexy, but like just your mind and your body, like as spirit and your head, they're all connected so much.
Yeah.
And I love, like, there's a doctor who wrote Healing Back Pain, and he's a 100% medical doctor, but he's like, I can heal back pain with what your thoughts are. Like, you're worried about money, you're worried about this, and it shows up in your body. Mm-hmm. And so just having that connection with your body, like, oh, and I've even noticed when I'm coaching somebody and their shoulder hurts, it's like, what burden are you carrying on your shoulder? If your neck hurts, why don't you want to see different options? Mm-hmm. So just kind of that mind-body connection. And the last part I'll talk about will be the soul. And this can be your higher power. For me, it's God. Whatever the universe, whatever word fits you. But having a belief in God or a universe or higher power why it's so powerful, because it gives you meaning in life.
Right.
Like, it gives direction. It gives a purpose versus eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow we die.
Yeah.
So that's a taste of my presentation, and it will be airing tomorrow. You can watch it live, or I think they even have a recording that they send out. Mm-hmm. So anyway, go give it a listen. So go check it out, HECOA.com, and we'll see you guys next week.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to Called to Homeschool. Be sure to subscribe, and we'd love to hear your comments or questions. You can find all our show notes on calledtohome.com.